This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Before we get to tomorrow's official festivities, let's go back to Durham. We start the Power Hour with Sheldon Williams, two-time Defensive Player of the Year, three times All-ACC, one of the baddest dudes the league's seen in a long time. Man, you look like you better be careful. Don't sit too close to the bench tomorrow night. They might try and put you in the game.
Nah. I think the other Williams, Mark, he'll have a good game tomorrow.
Sheldon, how big a deal is this tomorrow? I mean, seriously, it's got to be awesome for you guys as former players, everybody coming back, a celebration of one of the most remarkable careers we've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, over four decades, right? I mean, the guy's been at one place for over four decades, 42 years at Duke, all the great teams that he's had over the time, five national championships. I mean, it's kind of fitting to have this last game, last home game for him to be against Carolina at home. So it's great to have that. But it's kind of bittersweet because, you know, at the beginning of the year, he said this is his last year. But as time kind of dwindled down, it became like more surreal. Like, okay, this is really the last game. And now all of a sudden, I'm like, all the emotions of, you know, watching this great career and now come to an end. I mean, not saying that he's going to go off in the sunset type thing because, you know, Coach K, for a guy who built what he's done at Duke, he's not going to go away. He's still going to be around the program, but it's still different when you go and see Duke next year and Coach K's not on the bench.
Sheldon, the idea that kind of one of your own is also going to follow him as the head coach in John Shire, that's got to make this especially special for guys who are all coming back for this event this weekend too.
Well, yeah, I mean, John Shire, he's been doing a great job. He's been associate head coach for a while now, so he's been able to study underneath Coach K and learn the things he needs to learn to be a head coach. I mean, he's already 2-0 as a head coach right now, and he has the number one recruiting class coming in, top five recruiting class for the next year as well, too. So I'm like, you know, the ball's not dropping, you know, when Coach K retires. You know, he's picking up where Coach K you know, left off.
But the bond of these former players, I mean, the generational ties have really kind of become public. A lot of people heard about it, but I don't think people realize that even though you didn't play per se with David Henderson or Tommy Amaker or any of these other guys, that you weren't on their same team, you were a decade or so apart, maybe even two, there's still that common ground around the coach.
Right. And that thing, for that happening, you know, Duke created this brotherhood, and a lot of people are buying into it where it's really a family atmosphere. So no matter if you played in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, 2010s, like we all have that two-time factors, Duke University as well as Coach K. So even if we didn't know each other that well from the far removed now current players to the 80s players, we still come back for like one, the Coach K Academy in the summertime where we actually get a chance to get to know other generations and still be able to, you know, hang out with our own current people that we actually played with.
Sheldon, I know that if Coach K is watching us right now, he's probably like, hey, enough about me. It's about the game. It's Duke. It's Carolina. When I mention this series, what pops in your head?
The great rivalry. I mean, being able to watch this when I was in high school, the great rivalry between Carolina and Duke, and then actually going into Duke and playing my first, you know, rivalry game, it was like, oh, what I saw on TV didn't do it justice. Like, literally, we are standing right next to each other, yelling top of my lungs, and we can't hear each other because that's how crazy and energetic the atmosphere is. And it was great just to be a part of that because I am biased, but it's the best college rivalry in college basketball.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, it's provided unbelievable memories. And Sheldon, as we've come to find out in reviewing the tournament documentary that's on ACC Network, the bonds of friendship between Duke and Carolina are fairly interesting too. It seems like some of the 50s and 60s might not have been as productive, but here in the recent years, your era and others, seems like Hubert Davis has been pretty forward about, you know, Christian Laettner was one of his best friends in the NBA. I mean, what kind of unique tie do you have to a Carolina guy from the past?
Well, I mean, for me personally, I mean, we've been playing against and with these guys throughout, you know, high school. And just because we chose different schools that, you know, potentially hate each other, we don't sit there and go into that fact where we hate each other because we went to different schools. I mean, like me and Sean May, we played against each other throughout high school, and then we wound up playing against each other in college. Later on, Marvin Williams was my my teammate in Atlanta Hawks. And, you know, obviously we're going to have like a little here and there going back and forth, you know, when rivalry happens, but there's no hatred towards each other because we chose two different sides of blues and everything. But we all know about the magnitude of what this Tobacco Road rivalry is, and we all love being a part of it. But at the end of the day, we're competing against each other. We're not hating against each other.
Sheldon, you were the landlord when you played. How about the play of Mark Williams?
Ooh.
I tell you what, he has been a defensive force this year in the league.
Yes, he has. I mean, he came into his own towards the end of last year and then kind of progressed throughout this year as well. For a while, I was like, is he trying to get my shot blocking record? But, you know, this guy, he's very athletic. He does a lot of good job of just kind of blocking shots from the weak side, and he does it. I mean, he's long, athletic. He's able to get high arching shots. A lot of my shot blocking came in as soon as the release happened. But for him, he's able to use his athletic ability and get at the apex of the shot and then wind up altering shots.
It seems like that, you know, you came in really as a two-way guy. You could do things at both ends of the floor. For Williams, it seems like his consistency at the offensive end is really ramped up here, especially in the second half of the year, Sheldon.
Yeah, I mean, that's when we want it to happen, right? During the second half of the year, leading up into the most important part of the year, which is the conference tournament leading into the March Madness. So it's great to see him producing well, playing off others, finishing strong around the basket. That's something that, you know, one, Duke guys really need. We always have great guards, but for him to fill that hole in the middle, he's been doing a good job, as well as Theo John backing him up as well, too. So hopefully we can continue to keep this good stretch going into the deep run of March Madness.
Sheldon, before we let you go, and you've been part of these great Krzyzewski teams, that when it gets to March, he seems to kind of have this thing dialed in as far as his bench minutes, the focus. This Duke team kind of feels that way, the way they're playing here, especially the last couple of weeks.
I believe so. I mean, I think that while the season is kind of ramping up towards a ACC tournament, we see a lot more players, especially like, you know, Trevor Keels, who had a really good game against Pittsburgh, hoping that continues where he's being more consistent scoring-wise. But, you know, a lot of times you see the importance of, all right, when we have a couple more games left before the conference tournament, then all of a sudden we have March Madness. So we want to make sure that we are in a good routine and a good pace leading up to that. And that's something that I think with our young team, we kind of working in and out with ups and downs throughout the year. But having Wendell Moore be our consistent veteran leader, he's a guy who's been a utility guy for us, where coach play, hey, we need you around point guard, get 10 assists. We need you to go ahead and get 10 rebounds. We need you to score this game, that type thing. So I think that now that everything is clicking, I think it's a good time for us, and hopefully tomorrow's game will be a testimony to that.
Well, I know it's a celebration of Mike Krzyzewski and his wonderful era at Duke and the wonderful run that he has had since being brought on there better than 40 years ago. But I know it's going to be special to be around former teammates and guys from different teams. Thanks for taking time this morning. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow night.
No problem. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Sheldon Williams, 2-time Defensive Player of the Year, 3 times All-ACC. A terrific post player at Duke.
Big time.
Yep, big time player. When we come back, more from the Coliseum in Greensboro. We are closing in on 9:45. We finish at 10, but at 9:45, a seminal moment of this event is Mark Packer's blimp flying. You may have heard about it, but when we come back, the commish is here. Jim Phillips joins us on set live in Greensboro next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. Power Hour continues, and we're about ready to prove why. The commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference has decided he needs 15 minutes of our time.
This can't be good. You know, it was a great run, Pac. It's really been fun.
Oh, man, we got the blimp, man.
No, no, that's 9:45. I don't think you're ever going to touch the blimp now that the commissioner's shown up, to be honest with you.
I think he's ready for lunch.
Let me tell you something.
Oh, no, why are you doing this to me?
Because he's the man. Phillips and I have a connection. We don't have to say a word. We just can read each other's minds.
All right.
Before he ever showed up on site, I flew this bad boy 2 years ago.
I heard. Because I asked Amy Cole yesterday, maybe Pac would like to fly that thing at some point. She said, no, that he's already done that. He's checked that off his list. You don't have to worry about that, Jim.
I'll tell you what, you come back here in 28 minutes, you're going to be in for another treat.
So we had the Chariot of Champions at South Bend. That went flawlessly, right?
Yes.
Here it comes.
Yeah, this bad boy, you're going to see me in action. Just ricochet right off the scoreboard. It's going to be sweet.
And then
the rowing championships, right? Friday, May 13th. We're good to go, right?
We need everybody to come down to Clemson, South Carolina, and support those women.
Yep.
And the official starter.
The official starter now.
You know, because we're going to do our show live. That's the plan. And you know who really needs to hear this? The executive producer, which is standing right over there. Yeah. I just want to make sure Aaron Katzman's got all this
the operations down. People already called Commissioner saying that they had heard we were going to go live from a pontoon boat in the middle of Lake Hartwell in May. So we're off and running. All championships are important. Everything is, I mean, the crescendo of the student athlete. But this event in particular, with the national potential of this particular sport out of your conference, what's this been like for you to see this play out now in normal conditions, if you will?
Yeah, it's been tremendous because it was one of the very first things that I did, a year ago when I took over as the new commissioner. It's so good to have fans, right? It's so good to have freedom of movement in the stands. I see it on the faces of our student athletes, how excited they are to play in front of their parents and families and the crowd. Tournament Down has done it really well here in Greensboro. I mean, you can just feel it and sense it. And each passing day, there's more and more excitement as the field shrinks, right, to crown a champion on Sunday afternoon. But it's been wonderful. And I just give a lot of credit to the city of Greensboro, our volunteers. You know, I saw the parking attendant. You know, I left last night at 11, 11:30, come back early this morning, and he's still there. I said, did you stay overnight in that hut? I mean, that's what it's about. You know, it takes an entire group of individuals committed to putting on this incredible world-class tournament.
And we'll see it next week in Brooklyn, too.
We will. Excited about that.
Yeah.
And anyone can win that one, just like anyone can win this one. And I think that's what's really fun about tournament time. It's 4 or 5 days. The regular season is over. Mm-hmm. We've crowned a champion in both sports. And it's a reset button. So if you haven't ascended to the level you wanted to, here's your chance to do it. And if you have, right, King of the Mountain, you got to try to, or Queen of the Mountain, you got to try to hold serve.
Yeah.
You know, given your background with the basketball committee and all that stuff, is it fun? I mean, because this is a different vibe for you, but you've been also behind closed doors. You're like, oh boy, here we go. You're watching all these tournaments and trying to figure out. And listen, being on that committee is tough. People think it's easy. It's not. So in some respects, it's got to be a great position that you're in now to be able to say, hey, there's some heavy lifting in that room, but I get a chance to really watch this thing unfold.
Great question, Pac. I'm really proud to have served on the Women's Basketball Selection Committee and on the Men's Basketball Selection Committee. I like being on the other side of it. I like selling our teams rather than being in a room. And it's a great group of people, both in the men's side, chaired by Nina King at Duke.
Yeah.
And on the men's side, chaired by Tom Burnett at Southland Conference. I wondered when I went into that room, be really candid, I wondered in that room if anybody kind of tipped the scale a little bit, right, for your team or for your conference. Not even a question. No, not even close. Mm-hmm. It's really hard. What's hard about it is that last group, the last 4 or 8, because you can make a case for the ones you leave out. And it's really hard on the seed line beyond like the first couple. I mean, you can, but that's what's fun about it. Then we get a chance to pick it apart. So I love, you know, being the armchair quarterback afterwards, you know, not being in the room, like, how could that committee do that? And then I realize, no, you can't say that, Jim. You were in that room. You know how hard that
was. Welcome to our world.
Yeah. We have seen in the first couple of days here, the patches, the ACC patch. I know that's about the initiative with the other commissioners, Kevin Warren, George Kleofkoff, the alliance on Title IX, right? The patches you've seen so far, right?
50-year anniversary together, right? H-E-R.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to celebrate the heck out of it. I mean, 1972 was a seminal moment for women's sports. I have six sisters. They never had the opportunity like my daughters have, right? Yeah. And like all of our families have.
Mm-hmm.
It is so special of a moment, and we've made tremendous progress, but I think we all agree that we have more work to do, but this will be a really nice moment in time as we go into the spring sport. We'll celebrate it a bunch in the summer and then into the fall seasons.
And then the other thing too, I saw it here in the arena, and then the other night I was watching a Pac-12 game and saw that the Mental Health Alliance initiative you guys have started is now starting to get more play over the air and with live events involving those conferences too.
I'm worried. Like, I'm really worried about our society and mental health. And I think as administrators and as leaders, we have to spend as much time as we can in that area.
Yeah.
You see it. You see how it's affected young people. And there's lots of things that cause it, right? But the period we're just coming off of and out of, we don't know what that has done to people. Young, old, successful, unsuccessful. I mean, it crosses every wake of life. And so I'm glad that our three conferences can do something together in a really special way across 41 schools to pay attention and focus on that area. And to tell, especially the group we're responsible for, you know, nearly 10,000 student athletes in the ACC, it's okay to not be okay. You don't always have to feel great, right? There's an outlet for you. And there's people that are here to help you get through whatever issue you're getting through. So. More work to be done there, but really, again, incredibly proud of the work that we've done so far.
Well, unfortunately, we had the tragic news at Stanford this week, and it kind of puts things totally in perspective where you just kind of take a step back and understand it. You know, everybody's going through stuff. The whole world went through this COVID deal in the last 2 years. I remember we were sitting right here in this exact same spot 2 years ago thinking, man, the world just shut down, and for how long, and who would have ever thunk? So you're exactly right. We, you know, we just finished up, too, with Unity Week, and mainly the student athletes on there were awesome. And again, I always say to Wes, and we're in agreement here, the student athletes are really the star of the show. And Chester Fuller, no disrespect to the Hounds, but the student athletes are really the star of the show. And we are blessed in this league when, you know, they come on the air, it doesn't matter the sport, the gender, and they're talking to two folks, they have no earthly idea who we are in the basement.
Yeah.
And they conduct interviews and conversations as if, hey, they've been your best friend. And it just goes to show you the quality of the student athlete in this league.
No question. In fact, we try to do something across all 15 campuses and our Unity Week and intentional programming, educational series, and all the rest of it. But I will tell you this. We had a town hall of our ACC staff just this past Monday, last day of February. And we also were trying to celebrate at the end of the month, Black History Month. Mm-hmm. And we had Leonard Hamilton on. We had a couple student athletes on, amazing. We had a chance to have Leonard Hamilton on to also talk about unity to our staff and what else could we do in the ACC. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but Leonard Hamilton is a gem.
Yeah, he is.
He understands it, he gets it. And I was just so touched and moved by hearing some of the things of his experience, but also the things that we can do as an administration and as a conference office to continue to make that a priority in the conference, to bring unity in a world that is ununified in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And so the mental health awareness, the unity area, social injustices, we got a nice platform to continue to do good work in.
I'm not going to let you get away, at least before we talk a little bit about tomorrow night. Pac and I have been fortunate to work around this league for a long time. This is a top five moment in this conference, let alone for Mike Krzyzewski, for Duke, all those things. What is Jim Phillips emotions or thoughts about just this event alone and what it means for Duke, what it means for the ACC and college athletics period?
I don't know. I may take my commissioner's hat off on this. Coach K and I grew up in the same neighborhood on the northwest side of Chicago. We went to the same high school, different eras. He's meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
He's done a lot for me personally and has always been really supportive. So it came full circle when I was blessed to receive the, you know, welcoming to be the ACC commissioner. And he called me on, you know, we got on the phone together. And he said to me, can you believe two Weber Catholic High School graduates from the northwest side of Chicago are in leadership positions in the ACC? Isn't that cool? So, listen, his legacy you talked about this morning. I'm so glad Ernie Myers knew where the brake was.
Yeah, so am I.
So he didn't need to run him over. But his legacy is everything you've talked about. The admiration and respect that all of us have. Mm-hmm. Whether you love the ACC or you're a fan of somewhere, it's undeniable. He's one of the greatest coaches of any sport, right?
No question.
And I'm thrilled that that's the last game, the greatest rivalry in college basketball, right? And maybe of all sports, is the last game in a place that means so much to he and Mickey and their family. So it'll be terrific, and I'm looking forward to going over there after a couple great games here in Greensboro.
Last question. You got two tickets for tomorrow night?
I'm using those two tickets.
You know, well, by the way, where are you sitting?
You want to ride with Pac, by the way?
Yeah, you need to ride. I'll take you over.
I would stand in the last row
and
in the corner.
Some
I don't
will.
Care. Underneath the air conditioning or heating vent. I don't even care where I'm sitting. I'm honored to go over there and pay respect to Coach and his family.
I just think the layers of the whole thing and the fact that it's Duke, Carolina, and as I said earlier in the show, and Mark and I have talked about it, I mean, from Wright Thompson's article at ESPN.com to Andrew Carter's story in Raleigh yesterday about the respect level, the way he arrived at Duke, the friendship with, we talked with Ernie about Jim Valvano, the friendship with Dean Smith. The respect with Roy Williams, all that stuff. And to have this tomorrow night, you want it, the game is always the focus, right? But all of this around it, it's a lot. It's a whole lot for a lot of people. Duke fans and everybody else included. It's really a remarkable moment when you step back and think about it.
I wonder what his emotions are.
It's exactly right. Yeah.
So he'll try to keep it, you know, he'll go back to that military training
for
tomorrow
sure.
to just be
for
just
sure.
whew, straight line.
Or whatever you learn in the St. Helens neighborhood of Chicago, right?
That's right.
Mean
that's exactly
streets
right.
of Chicago.
That's right. That's right.
By the way, later on, when you come back next time, we'll this the old pilot life insurance. We got the sale with the pilot here. And by the way, is this 10 for the commissioner today? Because he can just take the mug with him.
The commissioner's allowed as many mugs as he wants.
Would you like a mug on the way out? Because we don't know where the rest of these will come from. You probably ought to take that one just in case.
The only thing I would tell you, though, is if it goes into the dishwasher, after the third washing, it turns into the Czechoslovakian collection.
Yeah.
It's only consonants.
so hang on to that.
Okay,
hand wash, as they say.
It's like Laura's China.
That's
you
it.
You got a hand wash.
That's it. Delicate.
That's delicate. Right.
Oh, man. Great to see you.
Good to see you guys.
Thanks
for being here.
Absolutely.
My pleasure.
We'll see you in Brooklyn next Friday morning, as they say.
We'll see you tomorrow night.
That's it.
Right
tomorrow night,
side.
Too. Yeah. Yeah. We'll be behind you in the corner. Upstairs, as they say. When we come back, Courtney Banghart and her Tar Heels take the floor at 11 a.m. So what's she going to do? Well, of course, come to this show. What could possibly go wrong? We'll talk with the coach of the Tar Heels ahead of her matchup with Virginia Tech next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Quarterfinals pregame coverage, 4 o'clock, nothing but net, live from Greensboro. Kelsey Riggs will be here, Hall of Famer Muffet McGraw, Kelly Gramlich, and Chelsea Gray to preview the next two quarterfinal games coming up tonight, and then full semifinal coverage tomorrow coming up here on ACC Network and always streaming live on the ESPN app.
All right, crank up the music. It's time for some walk-up music for our next guest. That's
there
right.
When
she joined us last time, Courtney said, hey, anything from you
anything
two,
from
maybe
you
a little
two.
One, that works for me. So there it is. We're
so,
about an hour and a half from tip-off, a little walk-up music. Fired up, ready to go. Look who's here.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for being here.
Oh, are you kidding? We should thank you. I mean, Courtney Banghart's coaching a ball game in, 90 minutes?
90 minutes.
So you sit and watch yesterday.
Yeah.
How does, I know you were here. What do you learn seeing teams live when you scout them, play them? In your case, you played Kenny's team twice.
Yeah.
But you typically scout them on tape, you play them live, mm-hmm. but you come here and watch. What do you pick up? Anything extra anymore, or can you see more of it on tape than maybe you used to, that type deal?
I like the rewind feature that tape provides. I have to say, I felt a little naked not having that iPad right next to me. You know, it's a team we've played 6 times in 2 years, so more about familiarity and getting our eyes on them live than anything else.
Yeah.
Kind of brag about your team a second. Last time you were with us, we had some fun talking about brown water.
Yeah.
Then Deja Kelly shows up. We start talking Texas brisket. I told Deja, I said, I kind of feel like I'm connected to the North Carolina basketball program between Texas brisket and brown water. I said, man, you're like my favorite team, for crying out loud. But she was a delight to talk to.
Yeah, special kid. You know, what she does on the floor is pretty well documented. But what she's doing for herself and her career off the floor is it's been a pleasure to watch, and it's well earned.
We were just talking here during the break. Sunday, great win.
Yeah.
A lot to it. I mean, obviously secures the double bye, and then you got to hope NC State can hold off Virginia Tech, which they did.
Yeah.
But in the case of Carly, you're going through the emotional spectrum of literally watching somebody you've known for a long time. She played for you at Preston, came to Carolina, and has a marvelous storybook finish to her final home game. That had to be fun.
It had to be, yeah. I mean, especially against Duke, a rivalry. We had over 5,000 fans. You know, we're still playing for so much. Senior nights are brutal. For coaches, you know, these kids get real close to your heart, and you know, you want them to succeed, and you also know that the end is coming. And so with Jalen Murray also, who's been our heart since I got here, I mean, man, that was a tough day. And I told my team, I said, I need you guys, because it's a tough one for me. And boy, my team had my back. It was a fun game.
Yeah.
You know, Wes pointed out your 90 minutes from tip. You seem pretty calm and cool and clear. It's almost as if, hey, I've studied for the test, and let's take the test.
Yeah, and I, you know, unfortunately, I don't think my number gets called much in the game. So I just have to, you know, as I say, you guys hoop, I play chess, and I can play chess without a lot of preparation. And so, yeah, I feel like we know this team really well. It's two really good college basketball teams. And, you know, remember, I got 90 minutes, so I don't know, when I get off with you, I still got an hour to sit there and think, so I'm all right.
I'm going to go fly this blimp in about 10, 15 minutes. You want to come hang out? And,
are you, though?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Courtney,
this started 2 years ago.
Yeah.
This is not,
But that guy's job is to deal with that blimp, I can tell.
Well, and
his
Packer
job
just
is going to be to find it after I get done flying it. That's going to be the problem for him.
I have no comment.
Okay. I want to ask you about inside today.
Okay.
We know Liz Kittley's the player of the year. Yeah. But Alyssa Usby's had a really good year and a really good first couple years here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a showdown. That's a great position-to-position game today. But oftentimes we build that stuff up, and you know what happens. Somebody else decides it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Liz Kittley is just a beautiful basketball player. You know, she got our vote for Player of the Year. I think she's just a sensation, you know, and she's a pro, a first-round draft pick, maybe even the number one pick next year. And so that's a focal point. But, you know, Shepherd came back another whole year. I mean, we're the only team without a COVID senior, and she came back for this moment, so we don't expect her to go down quietly. And then I think Georgia Amore is just a sensational talent at the leads guard spot, too. This team's got a ton of talent, you know, and a ton of experience, and it's one of the premier teams in the country. We know that. It'll be fun to have a neutral site opportunity. And just games in March matter, and we're looking forward to opportunity.
Well, and each team won on their home floor.
That's
right. I mean, you know how hard it is to play in Blacksburg. Oh. They know how hard. You have made Carmichael, by the way. It's a throwback.
It's a party.
Here.
I mean, what are you guys doing? You got to stop by.
Well, I'm going to tell you now, Pac. Watching that game
Sunday.
The
swag surf? How's your swag, sir?
It's low. It's real bad. But here's the other thing. You've taken Carmichael, and it's gone back to the old days now. I mean, it was rolling there Sunday. It was rolling for NC State. It was rolling for Louisville. I mean, holy smokes.
Yeah.
And by the way, can any game end?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, what are you thinking? The ball's hanging on the back iron. What are you thinking?
That was my game of February. Like the best game of the month in the league was that game. And I've never seen a ball hang up there forever. That was goofy.
Also, don't forget, she was on her knees.
I know.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
You put that together. Or the two turnovers we had previously. Right.
No, wait, right. We weren't going to go there. That's you.
We were going to talk about that.
There's that chest part again.
Yeah, the chest thing.
Yeah, when that whole thing came off the rim, I was like, if I have to walk in, honestly, in that moment, I thought, if I have to walk into that locker room and look at my guys and say, close. I just wasn't willing to do that. So I don't know. I think the whole Carmichael crowd did their swag surf to get that ball off the rim.
But yeah. You know, an event like that, a game like that, a result like that gives everybody hope when they come rolling in the tournament. And guess what? Yeah, NC State's really good. Louisville's really good. Yeah. But you know what? We've been there, done that. Mm-hmm. We got a W here. That can be done.
Oh, absolutely. I think that, you know, we've been waiting to have a signature win. You know, we've lost to four teams all year, guys, total. You know, this is a team that people keep saying, you know, what are you guys about? It's like, we're about winning. We don't have Liz Kitley. We don't have Naz Hillman. We don't have Nylissa Smith. We don't have kind of that one guy that's been around forever who's been doing things. But we've got a really good basketball team. And they're youthful. We get that. That story's been told. But we got a good basketball team, and that's been on display all year.
A couple weeks ago, I was in Chapel Hill, and
thanks for stopping.
Well, it was a quick trip for me. It was a day trip. The idea of when you came to take this job, and what you're, and I know you're focused on 11 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
but a member of the athletic department told me, can you imagine a better process unfolding in a sport for a coach who comes in from beyond the footprint, if you will?
Mm-hmm.
In your mind, I know you haven't thought about that. It's always been day to day.
Yeah.
But it feels like this has gone as well as you could have hoped.
Absolutely. You know, I've been reflecting a lot over the last couple of weeks, and I remember some of those nights that first year. And I mean, they just bring you to your knees. It was so hard, and you just needed people to trust you, and you needed this roster to trust you. And we knew we had to make some significant changes, and it required an enormous amount of patience and an enormous amount of persistence. And, you know, they always say, I've never really had a living example of, if it doesn't kill you, it will make you stronger. This almost killed me. And it's made me stronger, and it's made this program stronger. It's made our administration more supportive, I mean, in all different ways. So I'm not usually, you know me pretty well by now. I am sort of forward thinking. And I have really, I'm so grateful and proud of where we have come in these 3 years, from where the program was to where it is today. Our fan base, our current student body, our culture, our commitment on campus, our recruiting, I mean, it almost killed me. Don't forget that, but I'm all right now.
Commissioner Phillips was just here, and he talked about the volunteers and the job Greensboro does. From a coaching perspective, I know it's an easy trip from Chapel Hill. It's an easy trip for a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. What about playing the tournament here? It feels natural, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I know I was joking around, but they say, you know, we have home court advantage. It's I've never won here, so I don't know how much advantageous that is for me. But it's close for a lot of schools. It's close for, I think this is almost equidistant to Virginia Tech from where we are. And of course, Clemson and South Carolina and Wake, and you know, so it's all I've ever known. But I would have a hard time believing that there's a better venue for women's basketball in the ACC, given where the ACC is and its footprint. And these people are really glad to have us. And I feel like there's a genuine, authentic thanks for being here that I feel in the hotels. I feel it in the community. I feel it in this facility. So it seems self-serving. Again, you're talking to a coach who's won no games here. I think this is a great place for the tournament, or at least somewhere very close by.
Carolina's won this event 9 times. You've obviously won tournaments to go to the NCAA tournament. What is the common trait in all tournament title winners for you?
I think you've got to have players that make plays. You know, at this point, the scouts are pretty well defined because, you know, there's a familiarity within this league. And so, you know, in this particular game, Virginia Tech knows Carolina. Next game, everybody knows NC State or if they get upset. You know, but it's about players making plays in March, and that's why people love it.
We bragged about the league all year. At the end of the day, how many do you think really can get in? What's a real number?
I'm highly focused on the fact that I think that we should have more than 2 teams hosting. You know, we have the ACC Big Ten Challenge for a reason. We won that convincingly, right? And they've got 4 teams hosting. Currently, we only have 2. You know, and so I'm kind of focused on recognizing that the more teams you get in means you have a lot of good teams. And so why we don't have more hosting with the body of work that these teams have had, I'm not sure. So I'm hopeful that, again, when things go down to it, at the very end of the season, the people make the right decisions, and I'm going to trust that they will.
Tell you what, less than 90 minutes before tip time, we're getting complete analysis here from the head coach. You know that, right?
You guys are easy.
So what are you going to do after this? Seriously.
My kids got out of school. My son, I will say, he was really bummed about coming to the tournament today because it's pajama day at his school. And he was like, Mom, I'm going to miss pajama day.
Pajama day.
It's hard when you go up against
pajama day. You are not guaranteed a victory. But that is the life that I live. So, you know, we're going to prepare for the next opponent. And then we'll take some days and regroup before the ACC, before the NCAA tournament. And then after that, you know, I just got a boat. So I'm going to be on a boat somewhere.
Hey. Yeah. I got an idea.
No, here we go.
Packer and Durham on a boat.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to happen in May. We just got confirmation from the commissioner.
The idea is that we do the show from a boat for the ACC Rowing Championship at Lake Hartwell.
In Clemson.
And do the show on a boat.
You know who has a boat? Amanda Butler.
No, you know who has a boat?
Me.
You.
How am I going to get down there?
All right. Hey, wait, what's the name of the boat?
I haven't named it yet.
Oh.
I've got till April 5th. So.
Okay, don't. It's time for you to go because he's going to tell you something and you're not going to want to hear it.
No, probably not. Just think before you speak. It's a deal.
Courtney Banghart is now my favorite guest on this show because she just throws fire at Packer.
I love Courtney Banghart.
Good luck today. Great to see you as always.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you doing this.
You too.
Nice. There we go. See, you just named the boat.
So far, so good.
All right. When we come back, Mike Krzyzewski's final home game may be a seminal moment for the conference in Duke basketball. The seminal moment of this morning is getting ready to take place. Mark Packer and a blimp.
Get the helium ready,
We
boys.
Renew a tradition forgotten. At least I thought it was. Next on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, live from Greensboro. We're about ready to go flying, boys and girls.
Oh, jeez.
A tradition that started a couple years ago is about ready to rekindle. Maybe rekindle is not the right word. I'm talking about a blimp. But that's what we're going to do.
John Tarwater is our man at the controls. And, of course, this is said blimp that 2 years ago, Mr. Tarwater, maybe in a moment of lapse of good judgment, gave Mark the controls, and the rest was history. There he is. He's a certified shoe blimp pilot. Meanwhile, amateur status Mark Packer has. John, always good to see you. Now, Mark is wired to this table, so you're going to have to hand him the controls, and, of course, he thinks he's a full expert.
Before
you get acclimated, let me show folks the... Oh, boy, there we go. What could go wrong? Let me get the update.
Yet?
Can I show the updated net rankings here real quick before you crash this thing?
I'm going to get this thing a little lower, Wes.
Okay. Well, let me know how that goes. Oh, my God. Look in the world. What in heaven's name? There's the updated net rankings.
John, wait a minute. It's going in the upper deck, John.
Duke is sixth. And you see that Virginia Tech and Wake Forest are 32 and 35.
I just took out the University of Virginia flag in the upper deck.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, John, I don't think this is working. I know. I got this under control.
What are you going to do, Pac?
What do you want? Wes, you want to...
Why don't you bring a tortoise at a comfortable pace? How's that? Here it comes.
Here it comes.
Liz Kittley, the ACC Player of the Year, is looking up here going, what in the world are they doing for you, Packer?
Do you think that... I'll turn right.
Here we go.
Oh, I tell you what.
Uh-oh. How you doing?
Uh-oh, here it goes.
Yeah, no this. More. How about the music, huh?
What do you think about that, John? Pretty strong, huh? You think this is a good time to start in the contract negotiations?
No, I don't, actually. Huh? I think it'd be an awful time to start.
Yeah, I'm bringing that sucker right down in here.
Yeah.
Parallel parking.
Is that what you're going to do?
Look at this.
My gosh.
Oh, come on, can I hear something from the crowd?
Yeah, hey. Well done. Well done. Yeah, right nicely done.
There you go, John.
I like how you hit the gas on the thing. Yeah, thank you, John. Always appreciate you.
The tradition continues.
Yeah.
Jim Nantz has nothing on us at the Gusta.
Sure, why not? Unbelievable.
Hey, better duck. It's this guy over here that thinks he can fly. It's about ready to take you out.
He's certified. He's got papers.
I love it. It's my favorite deal right there.
Yeah,
flying the blimp.
Yeah. I just gotten word it will not be in Brooklyn next week.
It's going to be in Durham tomorrow night.
Let's go to the net here real quick as Packers' shoe blimp excursion is complete. As I was saying, Virginia Tech, Wake Forest, North Carolina, 32, 35, 38. This is the updated numbers from this morning.
Yeah, that's all great. What I'm concerned about with you was Notre Dame's 52.
There you go.
That's what I've been talking about to you all week about the Notre Dame number, that they need to just keep winning, right? That's the deal. I mean, there's nothing to get cute here. Just win games. That's what you got to do down the stretch.
You see Miami at 58, Virginia 79, Clemson 85, and the right side, as Packer talks about, Syracuse all the way down
to Pittsburgh. It's all about Brooklyn.
Yep.
Right side's Brooklyn.
That's
been saying
exactly
that for about
right.
2 months.
On this date, 2007. How about this one? You know what tomorrow night is, right?
From the top ring rope.
From the top ring rope, yep. Gerald Henderson and Tyler Hansbro met at the rim in Chapel Hill on this date in 2007. And a memorable play for sure in the Carolina Duke series. And
bam.
Man. Hansbro. Bloody nose, the whole bit. Carl Hess, by the way, does a pretty good job of keeping the peace here. But nonetheless, there's the play, March 4th, 2007. Another OTD for you here on Packer and Durham. And, of course, the next week.
Hard to believe that was 15 years ago.
Yeah, it is hard to believe. But the Carolina Duke ball game tomorrow night, it'll be our pleasure to be there tomorrow night for the curtain call portion of the program, 6 o'clock. Nothing But Net starts our coverage from Cameron following the conclusion of Game 2 of the semifinals. Right around 4:30 is tomorrow's expected start time from outside Cameron Indoor Stadium. Looking forward to being there. Looking forward to being with a lot of folks and on what is a spectacular night for the ACC and certainly for the legacy of Mike Krzyzewski.
No doubt about that. And it should be a great day of basketball here in Greensboro.
Yep.
A lot going on. Of course, you got the top four seeds and time to get to work, yeah. And it's going to be fun.
Let's show you the schedule of the ball games. They are all available on the ACC NX. Virginia Tech, North Carolina start things at 11 a.m. Number 9 seed Florida State, who beat BC yesterday, they meet the top seed NC State at 2. And then the night session, number 7 seed Miami meets the 2 seed Louisville. And then Georgia Tech, Lorella Kubai injured in the first 10 minutes last night, the Georgia Tech center. And we'll see her availability against the third seed Notre Dame, who won an overtime game in their only regular season meeting in Atlanta. What a busy, busy show. I want to say this is maybe one of our most packed programs, Mr. Packer, in 578.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. By the way, you think the top four seeds win today, Gary?
I do.
You do?
I do. Yep, I think
a lot of chalk, huh?
I do think chalk prevails here.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think that I thought Debbie was pretty candid. Anything outside the top two will be a surprise here Sunday, and she's right. I think if we don't see the second encounter of NC State and Louisville here on Sunday, it will be an upset, in some respect.
Well, if it turns out that again, the biggest word in sports is if. If we do get the top two seeds here. I'm just going to prepare everybody. That will be a basketball game that I hope we get a chance to see one more time. Those two teams are, like I said, all season long. They are good enough to win the national championship. They're certainly good enough to win the ACC. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of feel kind of destined to see each other at least one more time.
Yeah. I thought Courtney Banghart just made a really interesting comment here about the number of teams that can host from the ACC. You know NC State and Louisville are for sure going to be there. She just used the Big Ten ACC Challenge as a marker. I think that's going to be really interesting a week from Sunday to see how many ACC teams are in that host role, because clearly this league feels like it's made a statement nationally this year, and I think they want to see it rewarded a little bit by the committee in terms of those host seats.
I think she's spot on, 100% right. And the conference has been consistently good and deep. All you got to do is look at AP Top 25. All you got to do is look at the net. You find the metric, you'll see ACC teams littered throughout. And we keep going back to Louisville and NC State at the top. This league goes a lot deeper than just those two.
Yep. Thanks to Jeff Walls, Kenny Denard, Debbie Antonelli, of course. Great to have Ernie Myers with us today. Sheldon Williams, Commissioner Jim Phillips, and Courtney Banghart of Carolina joining us on what has been an absolutely slammed Packer and Durham.
Good folks at Dewey's for feeding all of us.
Holy cow.
Outstanding
Dewey's
work.
The gift box. In fact, breakfast is here in moments.
Watch out, Wes. Watch out. This guy can't fly this blimp. Y'all need help? You guys need help with the blimp?
We will see you next Friday in Brooklyn. We'll be at Barclays Center for a tournament edition of Packer and Durham there. And looking forward to being with you tomorrow night for the curtain call portion of our coverage from Durham on ACC Network as Duke and Carolina play one for the ages, as they say, to close the regular season. Final day of play in the men's card tomorrow in the Atlantic Coast Conference, and we will have all of that. And Kelsey Riggs will be there with Luke Hancock and Carlos Boozer and Joel Berry, among many others, for our coverage from Durham tomorrow. Stay tuned. Afternoon coverage coming from the Nothing But Net group, and then tonight following the third and fourth quarterfinals. Thanks to Drew Brooks, Josh Macri here on site. Everybody, for a great program today. Have a good weekend.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.